Be welcome in the precious name of our Lord. I believe we are gathered here from 16 various nations at this place, in the name of the Lord, gathered to hear His word and to believe and to orientate us, to let ourselves be taught. For this reason, God's word was given to us. And we are also greeting all those who are connected online right now. May the Lord bless His people all over the earth. Then, last night we forgot to give a special greeting from our brothers and sisters from Romania, from the church Unodora, from Brother Tibi. May the Lord God bless this brother and his assembly. Then today, we received 12 emails and then also phone calls. And one brother from the Congo, he gave me a piece of paper with greetings from the various cities and churches. Then we received phone calls from Brother Michel, from Johannesburg, from Brother Joseph, from Kinshasa, from Brother Paul Nyagi from Nairobi. Brother Schmidt also brought us greetings from Moscow, from the Ukraine, from Karaganda. It's just wonderful that all can be connected now. And we time and again emphasized it. It is important to get the connection to the moving of God. The most important thing at all times in every generation was to get not to miss the connection to what God has done on the earth. And we wrote it and emphasized it in the circular letter of October. The Lord always continued to work. When the ministry of Moses was crowned, when it came to an end, then God continued to work. Then we lined out and set forth how the Lord blessed the ministry of John the Baptist and how He turned the hearts of the children of God so that they could believe, as the scripture says, and as the word says, to prepare a people for the Lord. And this happened with every ministry which the Lord gave by His grace. Also with the ministry of Paul, that's how we set it forth. One just has to imagine that God used him as the main writer of the New Testament to deal with every subject concerning the church, concerning the brothers, concerning the sisters, concerning the marriage, concerning the family. Every subject was dealt with and written down, and all can look it up, what God has prepared for us, also to each one personally. It's just very powerful. Also, that God has kept us His word. He who reads it up, how the New Testament came into existence, how the epistles, how the letters were sent from church to church and were read before they were summarized. A time period elapsed, but God took care for it, that His word was kept for us, and that we have the spiritual orientation in it. And also this is grace. The Bible all have in Christendom. But the question is, to whom can God speak through His word? To whom becomes the written word the living, the revealed word? Where is the Spirit of God at work to lead us into all truth? And if we go back to Genesis 1, the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep, and then God spoke. If the Spirit of God does not hover over the church, then the best proclamation does not profit anything. The Spirit of God must be present. And at Pentecost, it was poured out, and it remains in the church until we experience the completion and are going up to meet the Lord. Every time, we always looked to Israel. Today, we will only do it very briefly. But it's just the main promise of our Lord. Our Lord spoke of wars and rumors of wars, of famines, of the unrighteousness which will take over, of false prophets which would come on the scene and who would deceive many. But then came the main promise. When you see that the fig tree comes to life again, when we will see that, then you know that your redemption is drawing near. And brothers and sisters, we are today in this country gathered, in which the greatest havoc came over the people of God. And I was thinking about it. Tomorrow it will be the public holiday, the day of the German unity. Actually, it should have been on the 9th of November. The 9th of November, 1938, was a special day. 1,400 synagogues and Jewish houses went up into flames. And all this was the Third Reich. Why? Why Third Reich? Why does the prophet Daniel chapter 7, of the Fourth Reich, the Fourth Empire, which will the whole earth, it will take over the whole earth? Just briefly, on the 1st of April, 1933, the first announcement was given. Germans don't buy at the Jews. That's how it started. 6 million Jews are no more. Everything happened in the time of the Third Reich. And brothers and sisters, we who we are gathered here we may thank the Lord. This was one of the points which I asked Brother Branham. My question was, Brother Branham, is there a curse on Germany because of what was done to the Jews? This was really, it was real on my heart. Because after 1945, all the prayer meetings, be it denominational or whatever, all had their prayer meetings, and all were asking God for forgiveness in reference to that, what was done to the Jews. My dad was accommodating Jews. He should be shot. And the mayor, he was intervening for him. And I was thinking, is there a curse on our country? And among all these other questions, also this question was addressed to Brother Branham. And his answer was very brief, very clear. Brother Frank, on Germany, there is no curse. God will judge those who are guilty. And so it is. God will not judge a whole nation for what a handful of people have done. For us, I emphasize once again, for us, the people of Israel are the chosen people of God. And only for our sakes, God has blinded a part of them so that our eyes could be opened, so that the wild olive trees could be grafted into the natural olive tree. God has a plan of salvation. Now, what also touches me is, when I was thinking and reading about history, and now one always hears that the whole Arabic world should not make any trade with Israel anymore. As then it was said, don't buy at the Jews. So now again they make international propaganda until Israel is isolated from the world. I brought with me the map of Israel and the surroundings of all the Arabic world around them. The Arabic world, the surroundings, are 950 times larger than the tiny little Israel, which one doesn't find here at all, unless one makes it red here. And yet, nevertheless, they want that little country. They want to divide it. Also here, the scripture comes to fulfillment, that God will judge those who have parted their land, his land. Now, just so much to that, what concerns Israel. We are blessing Israel in the name of the Lord, and we know that the hour will come, as Paul has set it forth, when the full number from the Gentiles has come into the church, then Israel will be saved in its fullness. For from Zion the Savior will come. Everything is written in this holy, precious book. And we're just grateful, grateful with all our hearts that God has given us the grace to live now, to have part now in what He is doing right now. Now to the ministry of Brother Branham, let me just say here, God had to fulfill His promise because He's watching over His word to fulfill what He promised. He had to send a prophet at the end of the day of salvation, before the day of the Lord breaks forth, where the sun turns into darkness and where the moon will turn into blood. And therefore, the Great Commission, so one could say, addressed to our beloved brother, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. God has given me the great privilege to be eye and ear witness of this divine sending. I appreciate it. I'm grateful for it. But connected with it is also a very great responsibility. The Word, the Holy Word of God, to preach it and to pass it on in the original. For God's Word alone will accomplish for what it was sent for. It's not written what the prophet would accomplish, but the Word which goes forth from my mouth will not return void unto me unless it accomplished for what it was sent for. Not the man of God, not a prophet, not an apostle, but the Word of God, which we carry, will accomplish also in this time, accomplish for what it was sent for. And here we are coming to the point. Let us just read the scripture which speaks of the return of Jesus Christ, then of the calling out, of the separation and preparation, of the foundation on which we have been newly established, as Paul has written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I have laid the foundation with you. Another foundation cannot be laid than that what was laid. And God has brought us back to this original foundation. To this original foundation He brought us back. And He speaks even today, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. The promise from John 14 remains, and we are happy that the Lord will return just as He promised it. Let us read it so that all know that it is written like this. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. May God bless all the interpreters. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hallelujah. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Just very clear. Very clear. It doesn't have to be explained. In 1 John, chapter 2, in the last verse, the apostle and man of God pointed to it, what will take place at the return of the Lord. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his return. Here I almost have to cry. At his return, not be ashamed before him at his return. Not standing before a closed door, coming too late, knocking and say, Lord, open unto us. So, the preaching, the proclamation which is going forth now is meant for those, is addressed for those who are being prepared, who are walking the whole way of faith and obedience together with the Lord, who are consecrating their lives to God, and who take the word as a lamp unto their feet, and who are hearkening to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So that you have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his return. What do you want, beloved brother? What do you want? Precious sister, where do you want to be at the return of the Lord? Of course, most surely, with those of which it is written in Matthew 25, verse 10, they who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. Why did I, under many tears, after the burial of Brother Branham, and after my return, I said to the Lord, Dear Lord, all who have heard your word from my mouth and who believe it, I want to see them again at the rapture. All who heard your word from my mouth and who believe it, I want to see them again at the rapture. And I believe it. I believe that you all understood that not a Brother Branham or Brother Frank or somebody has to say something to us. No, but that God speaks to us through His Word. And that this is the greatest and mightiest hour and time in the plan of salvation of our God. Let us take this verse to heart and say it. It doesn't have to be loud, but say it in your heart. Dear Lord, I want to be part of them who are ready to go in together with you to the marriage supper at your return. Not to those who will knock disappointed because they were left behind. One cannot imagine it. What kind of desperation, what kind of trouble will come upon all. Really, to come too late and then to knock when the rapture has taken place already. And here we think on the word from Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand before the door and knock." Today, He stands before your and my heart's door. And all who hear His voice and who open their door of the heart, to them He enters already now and has the supper with them. And all who don't hear His voice now and who don't take heed to His knocking, they afterward, they will knock and they will be too late. Let us take it to heart. Let us say it once again. Dear Lord, let me, by grace, let me be part of the firstborn who are ready at your return to go in with you to the marriage supper. Is this all our longing? Say amen. Amen. Therefore we are coming from near and far, and therefore the last message goes forth, the last call into all the world. In 1 John chapter 3, we read the first three verses. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, we not only bear the name, we not only say that we are the children of God, we are it. We are the children of God. Born again unto a living hope. And by this we became children of God by His grace. Receive it. That we should be called the children of God. And we are the children. And we are. You are a child. We are children of God." Then it continues, "Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Do we have recognition in this city, in this country, in one church, or in another denomination? No. The Church of Jesus Christ is a called out, separated fellowship of the saints which hears the word of God and who believe it. and who are following the Lord faithfully, and who don't confer with flesh and blood, because they recognized and heard the voice of the Lord. Then verse 2, once again the emphasis, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. And now comes the blessed assurance. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. This is the full salvation. This is the full gospel. Here we see the goal, to be like the Redeemer. He became like us in the body of flesh. He was found in the fashion of man. And behold, He has given His life for us, so that we, on that day of the return of our Lord, can be transferred into His image and for all eternity, as sons and daughters, we can be with the Lord. But now comes a very important content in verse 3. And every man, without exception, and everyone that has this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. A very important word. And everyone who has this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure.
Reinigt euch ihr, die ihr die Geräte des Herrn tragt.
Purify yourselves, who you carry the vessels of the Lord. There are many words which could be added here and which could be read here. Every statement is precious. Not only be called the children of God, but to be a child of God. At the return of Jesus Christ, having the hope also that the body will be changed, to receive a resurrection body and to be forever with the Lord. The damage which was done in the Garden of Eden is then made well forever. And we will be with the Lord forever. Please, let us take verse 3 to heart. And everyone, every brother, every sister, and everyone who has this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Just very powerful. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Here we have the description of that, what will happen at the return of the Lord. When brothers are saying, the Lord has come already, one almost doesn't dare to say here some kind of foolishness. But the last one was that Christ our Lord came to the earth. As long when Brother Branham was on the earth, because the Lord was on the earth when John the Baptist had his ministry. I wished such a brother would come into my office one day. And you can imagine what then had to be said. Is not John the Baptist, after his ministry was finished, was he not beheaded? Was he there when our Lord and Redeemer died on the cross? No! He was long in glory. Brother Branham doesn't have to be here. But we have to be called out and be prepared to be part when the Lord returns. And also this subject now, it's just so mighty. Because it is connected with divine reality. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read from verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that have died. For since by one man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And now it comes. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his return. Amen. Hallelujah. Who are Christ's at his return. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have destroyed all rule and all authority and power. He who reads on will find out that first in the time of his kingdom, the last enemy will be made his footstool. That's how it is written in verse 25. For he must reign as king, not as redeemer, not as Lamb of God, as king he must reign, till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. This is the thing of our Lord. This is his matter. He will do all things as he promised it and as he planned it. Our responsibility is just therein to, in this time, to take the word of God serious in this time. Not only to hear it, but to do it, to obey it. And as our Lord, we emphasized it briefly already in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Our Lord said, ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Friends of God. It just includes that we are doing what he commands us. John 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Everything what the Lord commands us, He, of course, has given the Great Commission. He commanded, "To me is given all power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Also today, there can be a baptism. The Lord spoke through His word, which belonged to the proclamation. And all who accept it by faith, they will obey what He has said and commanded. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You all know, of course, where the bridge had to be made to this word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here the Lord commands to come out from all, to separate ourselves and to not to touch any unclean thing. And then He wants to receive us and accept us. It's not that our Lord would have said, if you feel like and if you are happy, then you can think about it, whether you want to be separated or not. The Lord commanded it. He commanded it. Ye, my people, be ye separate. And who separates himself? Only he who belongs to the people of God. All the others, they will continue to walk on their own ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read it from verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? The Lord says in the first commandment, thou shalt not make any image or any, thou shalt not worship and have other gods besides me. No image. No puppets, nothing. And no crucifix. Here it continues. Let us read it once again. From the very beginning, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Not only a temple in Jerusalem, we are the temple of the living God. Our bodies are the temple of God. And as the church, we are the temple of God, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, the manifestation place of the Almighty God on earth. God has no other place on the earth in which He can manifest Himself than only His church. The manifestation place of God. I will walk in them and dwell in them, and I will be their God. And because He dwells amongst us, therefore He speaks to us through His word. And we recognized that not a man has brought a message, but that the Lord, through His revealed word, has spoken to all of us. Then we read on, verse 17, Wherefore, because we are the temple of God, and because God dwells amongst us, therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, commandeth the Lord. Not perhaps you are so kind, and no, commandeth the Lord. And if we understood this, that the calling out is the command of the hour, and that God calls out his church from all peoples, tongues and nations, from all religions, from everywhere, ye, my people, come out from among them. Be ye separate, commanded the Lord. Have you come out from everything? Was that your decision? Or did the Lord spoke to you through his word? Has he called you out? You left everything behind. And you're also not looking back anymore. All of us, we know, we are coming from various churches and denominations. All my forefathers, they belonged to the Lutheran Church. My great-grandfather, he had the name August Hermann Francke, just as the man who wrote the foreword of the Luther Bible. But then it happened that the Spirit of God was at work, and my parents, they experienced a conversion. I have to say it. God really, step by step, also within the family, he was at work. From the Lutheran Church into the Baptist Church, into the full gospel churches, into the Pentecostal circles, on and on. Today, I'm still thinking with great joy. I remembered when 1959, here on the Korekamp Street, number 18, I translated a sermon of Brother Branham. And my dad, who was also ministering with the word, he heard for the first time about the Godhead and about the baptism. And his answer was, if it is written in the Bible, then it is true, and then it is valid. Then it is also valid for me. And at the first baptism, here in the forest, at the Gerber Street, I baptized my daddy and my mommy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord has to be received, has to be believed, before it can get revealed. He who doesn't believe it, to him it will not be revealed. And he who believes it, to him it will be revealed. But please, please, remember here the word, commandeth the Lord. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And here it says, commandeth the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Ye are the temple of God. God wants to dwell amongst us and walk amongst us. As written in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. And we believe that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. We believe every word, every revelation, just as it has taken place. Let us read verse 18 also, and then also from chapter 7, the first verse. Verse 18, and I will be father unto you, And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. After we heard the word, after we have come out, after we understood that it is the command of the hour, for thus it is written here, commandeth the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God cannot deal with any interpretation. God is only in His Word. And in His Word, He meets us, and we are meeting Him. Then, in chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, no compromises. Here I'm always thinking on my old friend in Berlin, Eugene Bird, who was looking over the prisoners, who knew all the prisoners of war. One of my U.S. friends, and he told me once, time and again, Brother Frank, since I heard you the first time preaching, I knew you are not a man who can make compromises. And he also said, you are walking the whole way with the Lord. How else? There's no other way. No compromises. Walking the whole way of salvation, just as it is written. Keep the whole way which I command you. Everything what goes with it, this we believe, and this we obey. In Hebrews, chapter 6, we have a couple of hints which we have to speak about briefly. Hebrews chapter 6, here we read from verse 13, Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. So, not only giving a promise, putting himself under an oath to fulfill the promise, to guarantee it, this is powerful. Abraham was just a man, but he believed God, and especially after the Lord confirmed this promise with an oath, what could Abraham do more than to believe with all his heart that what God promised, that it will find fulfillment? Let us read once again verse 13 and then onward, verse 14. For, listen closely, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He patiently endured. It didn't come overnight. The first promise God gave to Abraham when he was 75 years old. And then came the moment where the Lord said, around this time, I will return unto thee. And then your wife Sarah will have the promised son. Brothers and sisters, here our faith is anchored. God not only gave promises, he obligated himself to fulfill these promises. This is mighty. Do you have any worry to see the fulfillment of the promises? How? God has taken the absolute responsibility that he will fulfill the promise which he gave to Abraham and the promise which he gave to the seed of Abraham. Our part is only therein to believe God just as Abraham believed God, and to endure patiently until we obtain the last promise. Then it says in verse 17, Hebrews 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Shall we not stand up at such a word? Should we not all understand what God has said here? Not only to Abraham, but to the heirs of God. As written, we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Not only to Abraham, he had given the promise and swearing that he would fulfill it, but to us, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Please let us stand up. I read this verse once again. Hebrews chapter 6. Please receive it. Accept it. Find your place in the kingdom of God, in the house of God. Recognize the day and the hour and the message which God has given to us. Verse 17 from Hebrews chapter 6. For this reason, perhaps we should read verse 16 also, so that we get the context. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, no one can come here and oppose. It's not possible with God. Verse 17. For this reason, God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, He confirmed it by an oath. Great God, I thank you together with all, with the whole church at this place for such holy words of God. I thank you that we are heirs of God and that all promises of God are yes and amen. Bless your people. Bless your called out church. Bless and reveal thyself. We thank you. We thank you for your revealed word.
Hallelujah.
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 Your wonderful name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Be the praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Now
just the word, the wonderful word from 2 Corinthians. Chapter
1,
where we are shown that the Lord has given us promises and that He Himself is watching over them to fulfill them. Let us read from 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. From verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose to I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. And now, verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yes and no, not so and so, but as we will read on, verse
19,
for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. But in him was the yes. And now it comes. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, Amen, unto the glory of God by us. Not without us, with us, and through us. Just as all the promises were fulfilled in the Redeemer, which we're referring to him, so all the promises are coming to fulfillment, which were given to the redeemed. Let us read once again, verse 20 to 22. For all the promises of God in him, yes.
Oh,
we need the connection to God. in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God through us. Through us, every promise will be fulfilled in us and through us. Verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Brothers and sisters, we have to pray for it more and more, that the holy anointing comes upon us. And not only the anointing, but that we are sealed unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, God has established us in Christ, and it is he who has given us the holy anointing, of which John writes, just as the anointing teaches you, that's how it is right before God. Verse 22, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. It's the Word of God, words of life. And brothers and sisters, let us say it once again. We are finding ourselves in these words by His grace. The Lord who has said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. He has opened unto us the understanding for the Scripture. He has shown us that this is the time of the calling out and of the fulfillment of the word. Ye, my people, come out and be ye separate, commandeth the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Let us say it in humbleness, without criticism. Once again, all the others will bypass what God has promised for this time. They will shake their heads and say, oh, there's a group. They're coming once a month from near and far together. They are following a man with a teaching from a man from USA. It's not correct. We are following Jesus Christ, and we are following the revealed word of God. Also this we have said and written. Our Lord has said, follow me. Never Paul or Peter said, follow me. We are following the Lord, but we are not bypassing what God promised, but we receive it. We believe that the same God who called all the apostles and prophets and who sent them, we believe, as John on the Isle of Patmos, he was shown everything by God. He was transferred into the day of the Lord, and he had to write down in parables, in examples, in pictures, in symbols, he had to write it down what would take place. And behold, God has revealed all this to us by His Spirit. We don't have to go anymore to the Isle of Patmos. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. Don't have to go to Jeffersonville. We just need to be in the presence of God, hearing the Word of God, and getting it revealed by the Spirit. And then we believe all the same, because we are led by the same Holy Spirit into the Word of Truth. Let us summarize of what it is about today. The Lord has given the promise, I go to prepare a place for you. And I come again to receive you, to take you unto myself. And the call goes forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And then the message of calling out, of correction, back to the Word, back to the original foundation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. As it was at the beginning, so it is now at the end. And when I was reading up church history, that the false baptism for the first time it was done in the year 337 at Constantine, when he was lying on his deathbed, it was administered. Somebody came along there, and he was sprinkling water on his forehead. And he said, in the name of the Father, and again sprinkled, in the name of the Son, and again sprinkled, in the name of the Holy Ghost, and again sprinkled. This, in church history, this was the first false reported baptism. Whether there was another one, I don't know. But there it is reported for the first time. And all of Christendom follows this totally unbiblical example. And therefore, it is our duty to bring the original apostolic proclamation, to preach it in the original, faith, baptism, everything. And to also experience it. Ye, my people, come out and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. The Lord God, may He give us all the grace to take it seriously, what the Lord has said to us. To Him, the living God, who swear by himself, not only with Abraham, but with all sons and daughters of God, with all the seed of God, he will fulfill what he promised. Let us believe God with all our hearts. Let us be in an inner expectation. And let us believe that God will never come too late. That He will come. That He will finish His work of redemption in our time. And that we can have part in it by His grace. I'm grateful for every word of God. I'm grateful that the Lord has spoken to us today in a very special way. One more request. Should somebody have the desire to be baptized, the possibility is given here. It is still written, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who doesn't believe shall be damned. God's word remains the guideline for our faith forever and for our lives. To Him, the only God, besides whom there is no other, He who revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ for our salvation, to Him be the honor and the glory now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord together. Let us sing "Just As I Am." May God bless all the listeners. Precious brothers and sisters, if it was revealed to you and if it was fulfilled, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, we believe in our Lord in every way, in every point, as the scripture says it. Then just say Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God's word has become the lamp for our feet. Today, we will bring all the prayer requests before the Lord God. This time, we have very difficult cases. One case, a mother is praying for her son, where there is naturally no hope that God would answer us today at this place. And I may not forget to say here that I was visiting our beloved brother Rus, and he's also greeting all of you, the whole church. He's greeting you. We are joined in the love of God, and we remain joined forever. Today, we will pray for all the requests, and we will bring them before the Lord, whether it's for you personally, whether it's for friends, for relatives, for whomsoever. Today we will believe, and together we will pray, and we will experience it together. And then also for all who have some kind of spiritual need, perhaps with things, perhaps they are bound to things, the Lord has given to us today a special day, and it comes to fulfillment today if ye hear His voice. We have heard His voice. We have believed His word. We have a right to the fulfillment of every promise which God has given to us. We are bowing our heads in prayer. And I would like to ask, who has a very special request, really a special one? Raise your hand. Yes, there are some. The Lord, in every meeting which He was preaching on the earth, He didn't send away one. He helped each one. He has given him forgiveness. He has given him salvation. He has given him deliverance. And he is walking today in our midst to hear and to answer our prayers and to give us for what we are asking for. Let us just sing, only believe, and then we will pray together. We sing now, only believe, only believe. Great God, I lay my right hand onto this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And together we remember the words that you have not only promised everything to your seed, but that you confirmed your promises by an oath, so that we, today at this place and all over the earth, know that you will not take back any promise, but every promise you will fulfill. Also the promise, behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Also the promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Also the promise, for whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it shall be given to you. Today we believe. Today we take you at your word, and we ask that you turn every problem, that you set the captives free by the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. For thus it is written, the Spirit of God, of the Lord, rests upon me, also on us, today, in this hour, to preach liberty to the captives, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the Jubilee year, so that all are coming to their right and all are being blessed. Great God, these hours you have planned from eternity, and we thank you with all our hearts that we can come together so undisturbed to hear your word and to say thanks to you, for you spoke to all of us. We understood that you commanded us to come out from everything what is not in agreement with you and your word and with your promises, with your counsel, to just to leave everything behind and to make a new beginning together with you. You are the first. You are the last. You are Alpha and Omega. He who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty One. We say thanks to you for the victory of Calvary, which has become our victory. According to the scripture, our faith is the victory which has overcome the world. And the faith which has come by the preaching of the word today, this faith, whatever we brought in prayer before the throne of God, it will accomplish, and we will hear the testimonies of that what God has done. Today, He has done. We thank you with all our hearts for it, and we glorify together the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. And we thank you for the last call, for the message which you have given us before your return, your revealed word. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask whether somebody wants to be baptized. Do we have some? Otherwise, we are waiting for the next time. At the next time, most surely, there will be some. Be seated. Now we ask the two sisters that they, in case they have a song, that they sing it for us. Please remember me in your prayers. The coming weekend, the meeting in Rome, then the Far East, via Bangkok, Phnom Penh, Ho Chi Minh City, just up to Vietnam, and then to the Philippines, and God willing, for the last weekend, we are back, and then, God willing, on that Saturday, we'll be in Austria, and on the Sunday, in Zurich. Remember me in your prayers.
Auf Golgathas Hügel der Sturm, ein sein Kreuz, an welchem ein Sterbender hing. Es war ja der Heiland, der damals bereits für alle den Leidensweg ging. Das Lamm an dem Kreuz ist der Grund meiner Freud. Das herrliche Lamm an dem Kreuz, es vergab meine Sünd, und ich bin nun sein Kind. Darum preise ich ihn alle Zeit. Sie wussten es nicht, wen sie schlugen ans Kreuz. O Vater, vergib, rief er aus. Sie schmähten den Herrn und erkannten ihn nicht als einzige Pfund. Kreuz ist der Grund meiner Freud. Das herrliche Lamm an dem Kreuz, es vergab meine Sünd, und ich bin nun sein Kind. Darum preise ich ihm alle Zeit. Doch du kennst das Kreuz und auch den, der dort starb. Geh nicht an dem Kreuze vorbei. Er will nur dein Herz, lass du ihn herein. Er macht auch dein Leben ganz neu. Das Lamm an dem Kreuz ist der Grund meiner Freude. Das herrliche Lamm an dem Kreuz, es vergab meine Sünd, und ich bin nun sein Kind. Darum preise ich ihn alle Zeit. Das Lamm an dem Kreuz ist der Grund meiner Freude. Das herrliche Lamm an dem Kreuz, es vergab meine Sünd, und ich bin nun sein Kind. Darum preise ich ihn alle Zeit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Halleluja.
Praise, honor, and glory be to our Lord. Take greetings with you into all the neighboring countries. Take greetings to all our brothers, to all our sisters, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Greetings to all of Africa. Greetings into all the world. Greetings to all who love the appearing of our Lord, to all who are obeying His call. I just heard that a sister from London wants to be baptized. I just have the request that if it is possible, and in London there's of course a church which believes biblically and which baptizes biblically, perhaps it would be good also in the local church to find a spiritual home there. Local churches are biblical. Only I may not establish one. The Lord uses brothers in local churches. My duty, my ministry is to go from city to city, from country to country. And in no city I had more than three meetings. In general, one or two meetings. And then it continues. The rest all the brothers are doing who are having part in the proclamation, who are giving out the food in the same way. Because Matthew 24 doesn't speak only of one servant, but of all who belong and who are part of the Lord's household and who are distributing the spiritual food in due season. And may God bless all our brothers who are having part in the proclamation. Once again, remember me in your prayers, and God willing, we are seeing us again beginning of November. If somebody wants to partake in the Israel trip, please register at our sister Fleck in the office. And now I ask Brother Müller to come to the front and to pray with us. We stand up for it. Blessed and praised be the Lord, our God. Lord, Almighty God, we are so grateful to you for your holy and precious word, which we received in our hearts. And I ask you, dear Lord, keep it in our hearts so that it can accomplish for what you have given it to us. We want to praise your name and exalt your name. Oh Lord, I praise you for your wonderful grace, that for every promise you have given the yes and amen. We just want to look up to you as a child. Lord, please bless your whole church from the riches of your grace and confirm thy word. Also the prayer requests, also with this son of this sister, may you be praised and glorified. I also want to commit my brother to you when he goes out to preach your word. Strengthen him and confirm thy word through him. To you be the praise and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise, honor and glory. Let us sing. Once again. And all the people said, Amen. And all the people say, He has blessed us. And we may walk our way in His blessings. Once again, take greetings with you into all peoples, tongues and nations. The Lord God bless you all and be with you. Sometimes names are mentioned and others not, and then people are getting sad. The best would be one wouldn't mention any name. One just would say, the Lord, the ever faithful God, be with all of you. May He lift up His countenance over all of us and give us His peace and His blessing. Until the next time, once again, let us sing.
Amen.
Amen. He has blessed us. Brother Schmidt says that tomorrow there will be no brother meetings. Just let the grace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Each one is shaking hands with each one. Amen.